And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be perfectly honest, how many of you checked the bulletin to see if I was reading the right gospel, since it was the third time in a row? It's a strange thing. We read it in three very different settings. The first one as the kind of solemn transition from the fun and cute pageant back into an Advent Sunday service. The second time, as at this majestic Christmas Eve service of festivity in a crowded room. And the third time, this morning, in a less crowded room. Although an equally festive service in its own right. It's a nativity story in its own way, not like Matthew's or Luke's, but it is a story of the birth of Jesus, of the Word becoming flesh. It just lacks all those fun details that we get in the pageant versions. Of course, Matthew and Luke, where we get the Christmas pageant, lack most of the fun details as well, like the donkey, who, while a common mode of transportation, does not actually appear in the Gospel of Luke. The donkey does, however, The donkey does, however, appear in a funny little book called the Proto-Evangelium of James, which contains all sorts of traditions about the birth of Mary, her life growing up in the temple, about her parents, Anne and Jehoiakim, or Joachim, and all sorts of other fun things that have come down to us, especially through the Catholic tradition. It's part of the tradition of the church. But anyway, there's this beautiful moment in this book, the Proto-Evangelium of James, where Joseph and Mary are going down to Bethlehem, and they're riding on the donkey, and Mary all of a sudden says, you know, Joseph, I might need to get off of this donkey. I think it's time. And so Joseph says, okay, get down. Look, here's a cave. Perfect. Not a gloomy cave like we're used to. They used caves for storing livestock and books. They're kind of natural buildings in a place if you didn't have shelter. So he brings Mary into this cave, and then Joseph leaves her there and goes to find a midwife. And while Joseph is wandering around looking for a midwife to help Mary with the birth, something happens. Actually, nothing happens. He looks up in the sky, and the clouds have stopped moving, and the birds are hanging in the air. And he looks down at the earth, and there are workers sitting, eating their lunch, and their hands are dipping into the bowl, and nothing is happening, and they're chewing, and they've stopped. And he looks at some sheep that are being driven, and the shepherd has his crook out, and he's frozen. And he looks at the sheep themselves drinking from the water, and they're bending their heads down to drink, and they're stuck. And there's a moment of peace. And then in an instant, everything snaps back. The Word of God has been born into the world. All of creation has been frozen in awe and wonder. And then it's over. How many of you had a moment to be frozen in awe and wonder this Christmas? Ignatius did. That's delightful. Children maybe have an easier time of it than adults. Adults may be distracted by the noise of their children in the pews next to them at their service or up in the balcony, by all the excitement and the planning of preparing for a party, cooking a meal, baking cookies, putting out decorations, by the loneliness and the grief of a holiday not had, or by anxiety about family members and friends and rapid test results. Or maybe you had a perfect Christmas, a joyful Christmas, a wonderful Christmas, 1,000 times better than last year, and who cares about what came before. And yet still, as my nephew said to my sister yesterday at Christmas dinner, I just don't want Christmas to end. And yet it does. And yet it doesn't, which I don't say as the kind of Episcopalian snarkiness about the 12 days of Christmas beginning on the 25th and ending on Epiphany. No, Christmas doesn't end because Christmas is not our experience of Christmas. It's not what we do on Christmas. It's not whether we feel merry and bright. It's something that happened in the Word, world. It's a Freudian slip. It's the Word becoming flesh. It's an event. It's Jesus walking among us. It's God becoming human and joining us on earth. I couldn't help but notice all of that strange legal terminology that Paul uses in this letter to the Galatians, when he's discussing this process of the incarnation of God, of Jesus' birth. He talks about redemption and adoption, manumission and inheritance. In other words, he talks about our redemption, our being bought back from somebody who had captured us, a ransom being paid for us. He talks about our adoption as the children of God, just as the Gospel of John does when it says that we've been given power to become children of God. He talks about our transformation from slaves into free people. And he talks about our becoming heirs with Christ and through Christ as the children of God. All this legal language, I think, isn't just Paul wanting to be a lawyer or Paul making an argument. It says something about Christmas. It says that what happens on Christmas, what happens in the Incarnation, is not just a nice historical event. It's something that actually changes something about the world, about us and our relationship to God. First, we were not children of God, and then we were adopted as children of God. First, we were enslaved to something, and then we were freed. First, we were held in captivity, and then we were bought back. First, we weren't included in the will, and now we are. And it does not matter if we like it or not, if we feel happy about it or not, if we are distracted or tired or grieving or not. It happened, nevertheless. So if you were joyous this Christmas, and if you still are, if you cannot wait to get back to your ride-on bulldozer or whatever else it may be, rejoice and feel God's love. And if you are tired and exhausted this Christmas, or just worn out and sick of everything, it's okay, because Christmas happened anyway, in a theological version of the Grinch, I guess. If you are, it's like, what was happening with the Grinch? It's nice to be able to hear the commentary, isn't it? If you are just waiting for another more normal Christmas, that is okay, because the least normal Christmas of all time has already happened, and it has changed everything about the world, about our lives, about God, God's own self, who has brought our humanity into God's own inner life, adopting us as children of God. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.